I want, first of all, to bring and send greetings from Northern Ireland to the people in Singapore. I pray that God richly bless you in your labours for the Master, and I know that God will honour those labours. And through the preaching of the gospel, may many precious souls come to know the Lord Jesus as their Saviour, Lord and Friend. I want us to open the Word of God together in the book of John's Gospel, chapter 21, commencing at verse number 1. After these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, and on this wise showed he himself. There were together Simon Peter and Thomas, called Didymus, and Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, and the sons of Zebedee, and two other of his disciples. Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. They say unto him, We also go with thee. They went forth and entered into a ship immediately, and that night they caught nothing. But when the morning was now come, Jesus stood on the shore, but the disciples knew not that it was Jesus. Then said Jesus unto them, Children, have ye any meat? And they answered him, No. And he said unto them, Cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. They cast therefore, and now they were not able to draw it for the multitude of fishes. Therefore that disciple whom Jesus loved saith unto Peter, It is the Lord. Now when Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he girded his fisher's coat unto him, for he was naked, and did cast himself into the sea. And the other disciples came in a little ship, for they were not far from the land, but as it were 200 cubits, dragging the nets with fishes. As soon then as they were come to land, they saw a fire of coals there, and the fish laid thereon, and bread. And Jesus saith unto them, Bring up the fish which ye have now caught. Simon Peter went up and drew the net to land full of great fishes, 153. And for all there were so many, yet was not the net broken. And Jesus saith unto them, Come and dine. And none of the disciples durst ask him, Who art thou, knowing that it was the Lord? Jesus then cometh and taketh bread and giveth them, and fish likewise. This is now the third time that Jesus showed himself to his disciples after that he was risen from the dead. So when they had dined, Jesus said to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? And he saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. And he saith unto him, Feed my lambs. And he saith unto him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And he saith unto him, Yea, Lord, thou knowest that I love thee. He saith unto him, Feed my sheep. He saith unto him the third time, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me? And Peter was grieved because he said unto him the third time, Lovest thou me? And he said unto him, Lord, thou knowest all things. Thou knowest that I love thee. And Jesus saith unto him, Feed my sheep. Verily, verily, I say unto thee, when thou wast young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldest, but when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thine hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldst not. This spake he, signifying by what death he should glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he saith unto him, follow me. God will add his blessing to the reading of his precious word for his name's sake. Just let's pray together. Let's pray. Eternal God and gracious Heavenly Father, we bow reverently in thy holy presence in the name of Jesus. And we thank thee for this privilege that thou hast given to us to gather round thy precious word. I pray that by thy Holy Spirit that thou wilt teach us afresh. O Spirit of the living God, fall afresh on me and help me to rightly divide the word of truth. And even this day, help us to follow thee. Where he may lead me, I will go, for I have learned to trust him so. O God, lead us this day. Guide the family of God and the fellowship in Singapore. And glorify the name of Jesus, for we ask these things in Jesus' name. Amen. The hymn writer said, I have only one life on this earth, and as a vapor it's passing away. I must labor for treasures of worth. Ere life ends at the close of the day, only one life to give. And I realize that life at best is very brief, and every day is a special gift from God. Therefore, we have got to live wisely and use the time that God has and God gives us to the honour and the glory of his name. I want us to look back over the life of Simon Peter. And in so doing, I want the Spirit of God to examine our own hearts. And as we look at Peter's life, we view indeed Peter on the mountaintop experiences, enjoying the blessing of God. What a man to preach the word and 3,000 souls were gloriously saved. But also the valley experiences, the times of trial, the dark clouds that came over Peter's life. Just the same as you and me. It's a wonderful journey that God has given us. May God help us to live wisely to the glory of his name. Now, when we look at Peter's life, first of all, I think of that call. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 4, it tells us how that the Lord Jesus was walking there by the Sea of Galilee, and he saw Simon Peter and Andrew, his brother. They were casting nets into the sea. In other words, they were busy in their task. And the Lord called them and Jesus said, follow me and I will make you fishers of men. It was a very direct call to them. And the Bible says in verse 20 of Matthew 4, straightway they left their nets and followed him. And there we see the commitment of Simon and also his brother Andrew, because immediately or straightway they left their nets and they followed Christ. Their commitment was very clear. And Jesus told them, from henceforth, I will make you to become fishers of men. They left their old occupation and old life behind, and they were willing to follow Jesus wherever the Lord would lead them, wherever the Lord would take them. And then we think of that confession that Peter made at Caesarea Philippi whenever the Lord Jesus asked his disciples, whom do men say that I am? And who will forget the words that Peter said? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Peter was so persuaded in his soul that this indeed was the Messiah. Thou art the promised one. Thou art the Christ. Thou art the Son of the living God. And Jesus said, flesh and blood hath not revealed that to thee, Peter? But my Father. And then when we think of the life of Peter, we think of the caution, because before the Lord Jesus Christ went to the cross, Peter was cautioned by the Savior. In Luke chapter 22, in verse number 31, it says, Simon, Simon, behold, Satan hath desired to have thee, they may sift you as wheat. But I have prayed for thee that thy faith fail not, and when thou art converted, strengthen thy brethren. You know, the Lord knew what lay ahead of Peter. I'm glad that he knows the way that I take. He knows the future. And as we have entered this new year, there's not one of us know what a day may bring forth. But thank God, when we're saved, we know the one and are trusting him who holds the future in his hand. Oh, the Lord knew that the old devil would seek to sift Simon and Peter as wheat. But then he said, I have prayed for thee. And I thank God for the intercession of Christ, because he ever liveth, the Bible tells us, to make intercession for us. Do you know, Peter, although he was cautioned by the Savior, he was full of self-confidence. There was a lack of humility in his answer to the Lord, and he replied, Lord, I am ready to go with thee both into prison and to death. You can count on me, Lord. I don't know what others will do, but I'm going to go with you all the way, no matter what it costs. Before we point the finger at Peter, have we ever sung that little chorus? I'll go with you all the way. I'll go with you through the garden. I'll go with you through the judgment, but Lord, I'll go with you all the way. Friend, are we really willing to do that? Have we been doing that in the year that has passed, going with God, no matter what the cost, all the way? Peter said, you can rely upon me, Lord. But the Lord looked into the eyes of Peter and he said, I tell you, Peter, the cock shall not crow this day before thou shalt deny, or thrice deny, that thou knowest me. He's not even asked to go to prison. He's not been asked to die for the Lord Jesus at this time, no. But he said, thou shalt deny that even that thou knowest me. You see, the Lord knew what lay ahead. But then we think of his courage. Because you see, whenever the soldiers entered the Garden of Gethsemane and they went to arrest the Lord Jesus Christ, it was Peter who was the one that drew the sword. In Matthew's Gospel, chapter 26, verse 51, struck a servant of the high priest and smote off his ear. That was Peter. He was willing to defend the Lord Jesus Christ. And then the Word of God tells us that Jesus Christ was arrested. And they took the Lord Jesus and they led him away to Caiaphas, the high priest's palace. But it says, Peter followed afar off. And friend, alas, all backsliding commences when you follow afar off. You let other things and other people come between you and the Savior. And you've lost your closeness to the Master. How important it is to keep close and to walk close with Jesus. And then we see his cowardliness. Because Peter, having followed afar off, and then he comes in where the Lord Jesus Christ has been tried, and the Lord Jesus Christ has been questioned of who he is. And yet Peter does not come to the side of Christ, but rather he stands there and he warms himself at the fire among the enemies of the Lord. And a girl comes and said to him, "Thou art one of them." And Peter says, "No, I'm not one of them." And he was asked a second time, and he said, "No, I'm not one of them. I don't know this man." I say to you, my friends, watch your company. You see, Peter was standing not amongst the people of God, friend, but he was standing amongst the enemies of Christ. And he compromises. And I say to you, be careful about your company. Young person, your company is so important. And as Peter stands there, he denies the Lord. And then a third time. And they say, "But your language, it betrayeth thee. You surely are one of them." And Peter denied the Lord with oaths and curses. And immediately, the cock crew. But something else happened. The Lord Jesus turned and he looked, and he looked directly and intently into the eyes of Peter. And Peter remembered the words, the warning, the caution of the Lord. And that brings me to his cry. Because as Peter saw the eyes of Christ gazing upon him, and his memory reminded himself of the words that Jesus Christ had warned him, his heart's broken. The one that he had said he would go to prison, he was even willing to die. "You can count on me, Lord, if you can't count on anyone else." But sad to say, with oaths and curses, "I know not the man." He disowned his Lord. Oh, the danger of compromise. And oh, the danger of company that brought him to this cry. And the Bible says that Peter went out and he wept bitterly. Thank God his heart was broken over his sin. Is your heart broken over your failure? Over your sins? You know, I'm sure as Peter went out, the old devil would say to himself, "You know, your ministry's over. You're such a failure, Peter. The Lord will never want to know you again." But remember what the Lord Jesus said when he said, "Satan hath desired to have thee to sift thee as wheat." He said, "I have prayed for thee." And then he said this, "And when thou art converted," not if, but when you are restored, because the Lord was not going to leave Peter in defeat. The devil wasn't going to glory in his plan, because the Lord was willing to take Peter and restore him. And he said, "Peter, use this tragic experience to strengthen your brethren, to be a blessing, to be a warning to others. And tell them that God's not giving up on them. That even though they have failed, God loves them still. And I believe that brokenness over sin was the first step back to repentance. And where do you find him next? You find him back amongst the company of the disciples. And whenever the news came that the Lord Jesus Christ was risen from the dead, the Bible tells us when that news came that Peter and John, when they heard that news immediately, they made their way to the empty tomb. Peter came second because John made his way first. But he didn't go in. He looked in. Saw the grave clothes lie. But Peter, whenever he came in, he went in. And the Bible says, after seeing the tomb was empty and the grave clothes were empty, Peter left wondering. I'm sure he wondered. The clothes are empty. They say the Lord is risen, as he said. If I meet him, what will I say? What will I answer? I remember that look that he gave me that broke my heart. And I went out and I wept bitterly. And I thought it was over. What will I say to him? Tell me, my friends. One day you and I will see him. Face to face. And we have only one life to live. What will you say when you meet him, friend? Are you wasting your years that God has given you? Are you wandering from his path? Are you standing amongst the crowd which you ought not to be standing among? Or are you honoring Christ? Hymn writer says, by and by when I look in his face, I wish I had given him more. More than I e'er did before. Friend, let me tell you, give it to him now. Serve the Lord now. That you be not ashamed when you meet him. Peter left wandering. The Bible says John left believing. Oh, he knew it was true. He rejoiced the Lord was risen. And then we come to this 21st chapter and we find that Peter and other of the disciples, they're by the Sea of Tiberias or the Sea of Galilee. They have left Jerusalem. Some people say, well, why did they leave Jerusalem? Were they not to stay in Jerusalem? No, my friend. They were in Galilee because the Lord told them to go to Galilee. They were walking in obedience to what the Lord has said. In Matthew chapter 26, verse 32, but after I am risen, I will go before you into Galilee. In Mark chapter 16, verse 7, the angel instructed the woman at the tomb, but go your way, tell his disciples and Peter, that he goeth before you into Galilee. There shall ye see him as he said unto you. In Matthew chapter 28 and verse 10, as the women were going to tell his disciples of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus met them and he said, go tell my brethren that they go into Galilee and there shall they see me. So they're in Galilee, in the center of the will of God. You know, that's the best place. That's the safest place for God's child to be. It's the only place in the center of the will of God. Is that where you are today? Are you walking in the center of the will of God, knowing that where you are and what you're doing, I'm doing it because the Lord have told me? But you know, when they went to Galilee, immediately the Lord did not come. And the Bible says in the verse number 3 of chapter 21, Simon Peter saith unto them, I go a-fishing. That was his old life. That was the life that the Lord had called him from. And that was the choice that he made. I'm going back to the fishing. And rather than waiting for the Lord to come, rather than waiting for the Lord to tell them what the next step was and what they should do next, he said, I'm going back to the fishing. He made a choice. Was he impatient, disillusioned, confused? Where's the Lord? Friend, don't run ahead of God. Child of God, wait on the Lord. The psalmist says, wait on the Lord. I waited patiently for the Lord. He inclined unto me. He heard my cry. And sometimes God just simply wants you to wait. Be silent before him. He knows what he's doing. And God has a perfect plan. Where's the Lord? That was the question that I'm sure Martha and Mary asked when their brother died. Where's the Lord? They thought he had left it too late. They sent the news when their brother was sick, but Jesus didn't come. Their brother died, and now he's in the grave. Where's the Lord? And maybe there's someone I'm speaking to today, and you've been tempted to ask that question. Where's the Lord in my situation? You're facing a great trial. You're carrying a heavy burden. You're seeking to do the will of God, the work of God, and somehow it's one trial after another. It's one valley after another. Where's the Lord in the midst of all of this? And whilst they were waiting, Peter said, I go a-fishing. He took the decision into his own hands. And friend, there's danger there. You're God's child. You're to follow him, not go before. You're to follow after. And may God give you that grace of patience to wait and then to follow the Lord. But notice the companions. Because immediately Peter said this, they say unto him, we also go with thee. There's the power of influence. Be careful, my friend. Be careful about the choices you make. Because choices bring consequences. And isn't it interesting? Whenever Peter said, I go a-fishing, and they said, we also go with thee, it says, they entered into a ship immediately. There's a ship on the shore waiting to take them. Just like Jonah. Whenever Jonah was running away from the will of God, there was a ship waiting for him to take him away. And here we find the ship was waiting. But that brings me to the chastisement. Because the word of God says, that night they caught nothing. Absolutely nothing. And I can tell you, when a work is done apart from Christ, it will come to nothing. Jesus said, without me, ye can do nothing. Not by might nor by power, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. And the Lord allowed disappointment to come into their lives to make them to depend upon him. And in their own efforts, there was disappointment, there was defeat, there was despair. And they caught nothing. Oh, we need the power of God to serve him. We need the Lord to anoint our ministries, to make them usable in his hand, to glorify his name. For without him, it comes to nothing. But then it says in verse 4, but when the morning was now come. Yes, morning came. There's the coming. You know, it's always darkest before the dawn. And whenever the morning came, Jesus stood on the shore. But the disciples knew not that it was the Lord. The Lord arrived at the right time to meet the needs of his children. Isn't God good, friend? He's always good. And here were the disciples out there on the boat, and they had fished all night and they'd caught absolutely nothing. And then we have the command, Jesus saith unto them, children, have ye any meat? In reality, he was telling them, you've not caught anything to eat, have you? And notice the answer. No. Oh, they had to humble themselves. Acknowledge, even though they were experienced fishermen, their labors had come to nothing. Failure. But you know, the Lord Jesus said to them, cast the net on the right side of the ship, and ye shall find. And friend, when they did it at the command of Christ, this was not doing it in their own strength and with their own effort, but at the command of Christ, they let down the net, and there were so many fish in the net, it was absolutely filled. Success. You see, success is assured when the order and the direction is of the Lord. And it was then that John recognized the Lord, and he said, it's the Lord. And when Peter heard that, he hastened out of the boat to get to Jesus. And the others dragged with that little ship the net for the fishes. Whenever they got to the shore, in verse number 9, as soon as they were come to the land, they saw a fire of coals there, and the fish laid thereon, and bread. There's the care, the shepherd's care. Even though they had gone out that night in their own strength and had caught nothing. Even though they hadn't waited upon the Lord, yet he still cared for them. He still loved them. And when they came to land, they saw the fire and the coals and fish already on it to feed them, and bread to meet their need. Haven't we a loving God, friend? I'm sure whenever Peter looked and he saw the fire, and then he saw the Lord, I'm sure he remembered, the last time I stood at a fire, I was among the enemies of the Lord. And I denied him with oaths and curses. But now I'm at the fire. And the Lord Jesus Christ not only was the one that prepared the meal, he was the one that served the meal. And they sat down together to enjoy the provision of the Lord. I think it's also interesting that whilst the Lord had already fishes on the fire, he had commanded them to put down the net. And so therefore he says, bring some of the fishes you have caught, because you did it at my command. And God was willing to use them to make the meal as well. We have a tender-hearted and a gracious and a loving God. When they finished the meal, finally we have the challenge. Because after they had the meal, Jesus turned to Simon Peter, and Jesus said to him, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? Notice what he called him. He called him the name that Peter had whenever his brother Andrew brought him to Jesus. The Lord Jesus said to him, thou art Simon, the son of Jonah. Simon means a pebble. But he said, from henceforth, you'll be called Peter, a stone. But he brought him back. He took him back to the day that he saved him. And he called him, brought him back to the beginning. You know, I sing a wee hymn, take me back, Lord, to Calvary. Take me back to the place where I started. Loose the chains, Lord, and let me go free, for I can't stay away any longer. Take me back, Lord, to Calvary. He took him back to the place whenever he commissioned him in the first place. And he said, from henceforth, from now on, Peter, it's no longer fishing for fish, but I'll make you a fisher of men. He said, dost thou love me? Do you love me, Peter, more than these? There have been those who have discussed that and wondered, was the Lord Jesus talking about the other disciples? Do you love me more than the rest of the disciples love me? Or was he pointing to the fish? Do you love me more than these? Peter said, you know, Lord, I love you. But the word that the Savior used for love was that unconditional, total commitment. Self-giving to the Lord. Peter said, Lord, you know I love you. But the word he used was a different word, the love of a friend. for a friend, fondness of each other. He said, Lord, you know I love you. The last time at the fire, he denied him. And three times, because you see, his denial had been public. And therefore his repentance and restoration should be public. But thank God Peter now was unashamed in front of the rest of the disciples to say, Lord, thou knowest I love you. Tell me, friend, do you love the Lord today? Or is there something or someone you love more than him? Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Only love for the Lord Jesus will sustain us in his work that lies before us. And Peter had to learn that lesson, and so have we. The Lord Jesus, he said, Peter, you know, there's coming a day, whenever you are young, thou girdest thyself and walkest whither thou wouldst, but when thou shalt be old, thou shalt stretch forth thine hands, and another shall gird thee and carry thee whither thou wouldest not. This spoke he, signifying by what death he should glorify God, the cost of his love. Do you remember what Peter said? Lord, I'll go to prison for you. Lord, I'll even die for you. Friend, words are cheap, aren't they? But Peter had to die and give his life for the Lord Jesus. I don't know what the cost of discipleship would be, but one thing I do know is this. You must love him first and foremost. Christ first. I challenge you, is there something you love more than Jesus? I beg you, love not the world, but love the Lord. Because remember, I love him because he first loved me. There is no love like the love of Jesus. May God help us to honor him. Learn the lesson from the life of Peter. And remember, only one life, 'twill soon be past, and it's only what's done for Christ will last. Heavenly Father, bless your word to our hearts, in Jesus' name. Amen.